Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more.
This is the best.
We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program. Whoa, that was an interesting little break. Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie running around like a madman. He's earning all of his keep today. Trust me on that one. That's nice to see you breaking into a sweat, buddy.
Yeah, got my work get in for the day. Running around the office.
Oh, yes. Derek Brandeo and Andrew Holland assisting us this morning, getting us, keeping us online, as they say. Trying to, anyways. Where were we? Yes, we were back with the program. Largest lake in the world by area produces an abundance in terms of quantity of fish. But here's an interesting little piece of information. Very little of it, if any, gets consumed in Canada, and in particular Thunder Bay, which would be the biggest community on the shores of that lake. Very, very, very little of any of it gets consumed, especially in an era where we talk about the 100-mile radius for food consumption. It's kind of interesting that what fish is being harvested, and it is limited, I understand, what fish is being harvested out of Lake Superior doesn't make it to our tables. It goes south of the border. So we thought we would bring on somebody who can kind of clear the air a little bit about this. The name is Kristen Lowett from Brandon University, out of Brandon, Manitoba, obviously. And they've got their ear firmly on the communications within the commercial fishery on Lake Superior. And they're going to tell us exactly why. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us. So, you know, in an era where that 100-mile radius is becoming a big thing in terms of food consumption, how can we stand by and not consume fish that are being harvested right under our noses?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And so that's pretty much the question that spurred the study that I led with my colleague, Dr. Charles Lebko at Lakehead University. And we observed that you couldn't purchase much local fish in Thunder Bay, and we were interested in learning more about why. You know, you mentioned 100-mile diet, access to, you know, fresh fish for people in the region. So why is this happening? So that's the sort of study we undertook to address that question.
And we're not talking small potatoes here, Kristen. We're talking, from what I can tell, you know, we're still commercially harvesting 600,000 pounds, 675,000 pounds of fish every year. So that is a sizable amount.
Yes, it is. It is, certainly. So there is about, as you mentioned, 680,000 pounds of fish. It's primarily Lake Whitefish and Lake Hearing, also known as Cisco, that's being harvested. Some smaller quantities of lake trout. And what we essentially found in the study is that a lot of that fish, a little bit of it stays in the region, but the majority of it is going to larger markets in the United States, to Boston and Chicago. And it's essentially being sold as, you know, relatively low-quality protein to be processed into gefilte fish, so the dish made from a poached mixture of ground fish.
Wow. And the thing is, the U.S. has got their own fishery, a commercial fishery out of Lake Superior as well, that they're augmenting our catches with. So it is kind of interesting. Now, first of all, you know, you're saying that they're processing it into ground as ground fish and whatnot south of the border. Is it a product that can be consumed on a fresh fish market, for example?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, some of it might be sold fresh as fillets. I do remember hearing from some of the interviews we did. We did about 25 interviews with different fishery stakeholders around Lake Superior a couple of years ago. They, you know, the kind of buyers and the fish harvesters mentioned a lot of it was turning into gefilte fish. It was a popular product. But it's also, you know, another valuable product also is Lake Herring is quite valuable for its roe, for its eggs. And so there's a demand for that in European markets as well.
Okay. And is there, is it a price thing? I mean, are we underbidding on it? Like, why are we not? Or is there even a Canadian market that can buy it and make it into whatever process product that they're doing in the U.S. with it?
Right. So I think partly what's happening from, you know, what we understand in some of the interviews we did is fisheries are managed by the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. And in the 1980s, the ministry introduced individual transferable quotas. So these are essentially sort of market-based allocations that let the fishery manager give a certain amount of the total catch to an individual harvester. And those harvesters can then transfer or release that quota to others. So my understanding in terms of what's happening is that there's an American company that has set up an Ontario-based fishing business to sort of lease quota from Thunder Bay area fish harvesters. And so they're securing their access to fish that way. And, you know, they have the capital to kind of lease that quota. And so that's how I believe they're securing some of that fish for the market in the United States.
Okay, so what's the plan? What's the outcome? What are you going to do with all this information?
Yeah, so we're really interested in how we can integrate fisheries more into, you know, local food systems around Lake Superior, in this case for the regional food system in Thunder Bay. And I think there's some, you know, important implications of this, right? So we see, you know, fish harvesters being integrated into these longer distance supply chains. In a lot of cases, they're quite vulnerable to the prices they're being paid by these, you know, larger buyers. We also see kind of smaller processors on Lake Superior being squeezed as the industry consolidates. And also, you know, producers and consumers that are disconnected, consumers that aren't connected to where their fish is coming from or to the fish coming from Lake Superior. So, in, you know, Thunder Bay, fish is a nutritious food, a culturally appropriate food, and many people can't access their preferred foods, and yet we're also exporting this really high-quality food from the region.
You know what I find really weird about this, Kristen, is that most other resources that we have some kind of protection mechanism in place, whether it's the old NAFTA agreement or other trade agreements that we have with the U.S. Seems odd that we don't, that this doesn't fall into any of those categories where we're, you know, we're being outbid price-wise by our American cousins. It's kind of weird. The whole thing is weird. Interesting.
Yeah, though. Yeah. It's
very interesting
situation, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, keep us apprised of what's going on. Where can folks get more information on the subject?
Sure. So there is a website that you're welcome to go to learn a little bit more about our project. The website is livinglabs.lakeheadu.ca. And if you go there, you can find a little bit more about our fisheries and food systems project. And the article you mentioned that we published on this topic was published in the Northern Review, so you can go to the northernreview.ca to access that article.
Very interesting. All right, keep up the good work, Kristen. We will talk to you again.
Thanks very much for having me.
Kristen Lowett from Brandon University out of Manitoba. And it's interesting. I'm surprised that they have not been able to put fish, or certainly that commercial fishery, in some sort of a trade agreement. I mean, it seems odd because we do it with dairy, we do it with timber, we do it with metal, we do it with all that. But yet, the fish, it's just an open market. It's kind of weird.
Well, it's weird because I know with like the CBC documentary, there was like they can ship stuff from over from China, and they say it's mahi mahi or something like that, but it's actually not that fish. It's a cool documentary on CBC that you could probably check out as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Look at you, the documentary guy. I didn't think you were...
I like that type of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Well, government and all that jazz, but...
Hey, listen, let's take this opportunity to remind folks of a couple of things. First of all, fishingcanada.com is your gateway to goodies and giveaways. We have a plethora of goodies going on there right now. Probably the most important one is the 2.5 Mercury Motor giveaway, which we are in month number two. There will be 10 outboard motors given away by the end of the campaign. Yes. Every month, every 30 days, we will give away another Mercury four-stroke 2.5 outboard motor. All you have to do is go to fishacad.com, press the enter contest button, and off you go. The other one that's very interesting and a little more timely is the 50% or half price, whichever you like, 50 or half, whatever. I like half price myself. I do enjoy that a little bit more.
I like both.
I feel I'm getting more if it's half price. I don't know why. Just one of those things. Anyway, half price sportsman show tickets. Like, how cool is that?
It's very cool.
Yeah. You want to go to the sportsman show this year, which is coming up March 18th. You go to fishingcanada.com and you press the sportsman show half price ticket button. And then, poof, you will walk through the whole process and you will have purchased your tickets at half price. $10 instead of 20. How's that?
Perfect.
Don't get any better than that. It's all happening at fishingcanada.com.
And you guys will be there too, right?
Who's going to be there?
You and Pete.
We are?
Aren't you?
Oh, sure. Let's go with that. No, of course. I'm just joking.
I was about to say.
Of course we're going to be there. We're going to be doing the show there live Saturday.
So I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be there all week. We're going to be frolicking with the folks.
Very nice.
Yeah. That means you're going to be there.
I'll sign some hats, kiss some babies.
Get some hats. Bring some hats so you can wear your cap. Let them know you're not doing anything.
No, I'm going to do my hair because I'm in public.
Let them know you're available that evening. You know?